Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And every single day leading up to the NFL Draft, D-Mace will present his homework, his film study that he's done on different positions of need for the Tennessee Titans. Players that the Titans could take with the 11th overall pick, with the 41st overall pick on day one or day two. Today is D-Mace's day. It is receiver day. Broke down Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Jigba and Jordan Addison, the top two, you know, consensus receivers in this year's draft. But you have three more that you broke down.
Number three. And I'm going to call this guy simply, and I'm going to coin this simply, and I've said it before, secondary shifter. He's a secondary shifter, which means, people, I'm giving you a visual here. Okay, say he lines up right or left. It doesn't matter. You're in a three wide receiver set. Doesn't matter if it's a pro set. It's just two by two. Don't matter. He lines up. You look over there. He goes off. He gets off the line of scrimmage. Not only is that corner going back up, but that safety that's back there watching everybody, he's going to shift over too, a little bit. And then that backside safety is going to shift over a little bit more. Why? Because this kid has the capability of running out of the building and running past you if you're not paying attention to it. That's all he did in college, was run by people. I don't know why they just didn't say, listen, we're lining up 10 yards. You can have all you want to. We're going to take away somebody, you know. We're going to send a linebacker out there to take away the underneath stuff. But you're not running by us.
Who is this?
But they continue to let Jalin Hyatt run by them.
Oh!
Jalin Hyatt is a secondary shifter. He's the only secondary shifter in this year's draft that I've seen. I haven't scouted all of them. But this is the only guy that lines up. And you better know exactly where he is, because if you don't, you're not paying attention to him. Sort of like Tyreek Hill. He's
going
to make you pay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those two safeties, y'all better be on the same page along with that corner. If it's cover two, you better get your butt over the top. If it's cover four, you better be playing a half, you know, a third of your field, a quarter of your field. If it's quarter halves, you better be playing it right, because if you don't, if there's a mix-up any with the corner and the safeties or the safeties period, this kid will run by you. He has vertical speed. He's a vertical threat. He does lack creativity after the catch. He's not one of those. And we've seen it all, where a guy catches the ball at 10, 15 yards. He's able to stop on a dime, make a few moves, get around people, and then, you know, get up the field. He's not that type of guy. He's a straight line guy. He can catch a pose. He can catch a goal. He can catch a deep dig. But he doesn't have that sort of those hips to sort of get in and out of the break and kind of give you a little wiggle up top and kind of beat you or whatnot. He's not one of those guys. But he has something that you can't teach, is speed. He catches the ball really well. What I want to see, and I'm sure a lot of scouts are going to want to see, and they're probably hesitant right now, contested catches. Can he make the hard contested catches? He didn't have to do that, frankly, much in that offense last year. A lot of it was he was running by people, catching a hitch or, you know, catching a screen. Even his hitches, if you watch him, he's falling back. He's not a guy that's a natural route runner. He's more, you can tell that he's a track guy or once was a track guy, because the way he runs his routes is not disciplined enough. He doesn't have the discipline right now that you need in the NFL to run routes. Eventually, people are going to neutralize the speed. Ask Tyreek Hill. He went from averaging 15 yards to what did he average the year before he left? I think something like 11 yards per catch. Why? Because team said, no. You're not beating us. You better figure out another way to beat us underneath. And Tyreek Hill did. He became a more of a route runner, a more of a three-level guy. Jalin Hyatt right now is not a three-level guy. Can he learn to be one? Absolutely. But right now, I think the concern is this young man hadn't run enough of the route tree than we would like, because a lot of it's been posts, goals, hitches, and quick screens.
I think that Jalin Hyatt can fill a need of the Titans.
Exactly.
You need a speedster. Mm-hmm. And he is a true speedster, a true 4-4 guy. But that is the concern that comes up with Tennessee offensive players is you never had to be creative in order to get himself open, because he was just always open.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes, the speed is not something that's a product of Josh Heupel's system. That's just something that he has.
Exactly.
He's just fast.
You can't teach it.
It's kind of the double-edged sword with those Tennessee receivers, Tennessee offensive players, is that is so forgiving for quarterbacks and receivers.
Yeah.
What would you...
Number four.
So sorry. What would you...
I'm going to four, but go
We've
ahead.
Moved on to number four. We cannot say anything more about the shapeshifter.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
Did you say shapeshifter or secondary shifter?
Secondary
shifter. So that's different than becoming a werewolf and things like
that. Yeah, shapeshifters. Yeah, that was X-Files. That was X-Files.
X-Files, that's right. You got to be aware of those, too.
We've never asked if he can shapeshift. Jalin Hyatt, first or second round guy?
Late first round, second round.
So I would, 41, we're talking.
I would pin him more of a second round guy because of the things that I said. He has the speed. We all know that. We've seen it on full display. But he hasn't run enough of the route tree than you would expect a receiver, you know, being in the offense for more than a year. He just hadn't shown much. Now, again, he could learn. I'm not saying he can't. But as of now, he's more of a late first, I believe, more of a second-round guy to me. So, the number four guy, he already put up number four. This guy.
Can't do it again.
I like him. I really do. He reminds me. He's been compared to, and then once I start to look at it more, he does remind you a sort of a T.Y. Hilton guy. And we all know T.Y. I mean, he just flies under the radar. Damn good player, but sometimes he just doesn't get the recognition that he deserves for what he has done, T.Y. Hilton. But T.Y. has the speed. He has the quickness. He can line him up outside, inside, everywhere. Zay Flowers out of Boston College. Another one of these guys. Zay Flowers.
That scared the crap out of me.
That's the second time you've gotten scared this week, I believe. This is a 4-4 guy. The problem is he's a bit undersized. What I did write about him was exceptional quickness. You can line him up all over the field. So he's sort of like, in a sense, like a – and this is what, you know, NFL teams are doing now, and we know college do it all the time. They take that one guy, sort of like a Deebo Samuel or Jamar Chase, these guys where they're so explosive. Once they get the ball in their hands, we just need to find ways we can get you the ball, put you in a slot, put you outside, put you in the backfield. We can do all this. Zay Flowers is one of those guys where you can just line him up across the field. He's durable. To be that small, he's durable. He's only missed one game that I can recall in 3 years, being 5'9", 180 pounds. He's only missed one game. So that tells me he fits right into what Vrabel wants, a guy that's durable, a guy that plays through injury. He has top-end speed. Not only is he quick, he has top-end speed. Again, where do you see him if you're a Tennessee Titan? Do you see him inside? Do you see him outside? You might not want him outside if you're thinking your prototypical outside receiver is 6 foot and above. Well, he doesn't fit that criteria, but he has everything else. He has the speed. He has the quickness. He catches the ball well. Really good route runner. He has all those things, but if you want him to be an outside receiver, maybe, maybe not. I don't know, but you can line him up anywhere on the field. You can put him in a slot. You can put him outside. He can be whatever you want him to be, and he's going to make plays for you.
Number five.
Five and the last one. We're going to go to the west, okay?
Ooh.
Southwest.
Oh.
All right, to the big city of Houston.
Ooh.
The big hot city of Houston. Nathaniel Dale. What they call him? Tank?
Tank.
Tank. Le Tank. Tank just won, too, in boxing. You see, I knocked down Garcia out. I believe that's who it was. But, yeah, Nathaniel Tank Dale. He got better. This is what I wrote about him. He got better each year, which is a plus. You saw the maturity in him. You saw the hard work and everything else. It showed up on the field because each year he got better at Houston. Not only that, he went from 3 touchdowns to 12 touchdowns to 17 touchdowns his last season. So he is a points maker. That's what I'm going to call him.
Points
He's a
maker.
Points maker. Just like you call Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets.
Yeah.
He gets your points right here. Tank.
Tank
gets your points. He gets your points. Exceptional quickness and the ability to transition in and out of his routes with ease. That's what sometimes when you're evaluating receivers, I know you look at the height, weight, speed. I get all that. I understand all that. But I want to look at in depth. Like, I want to go deeper than – because I can see that. Height, weight, speed. I can see that.
Right.
I want to go a little deeper. Turn on the tape. Let me see how he runs his route. Is he dropping his hips? Is he getting in and out of his breaks? Is he quick and under control getting in and out of his breaks? And Tank is one of those guys where it's just like – it's like a joystick. He's like a – you know, like you're playing Madden and you hit the joystick and he just – everything is done with ease. There's no false movement. There's no pattern of the feet, you know, pop, 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 and getting out of your break. No. I've always said, how do I get from point A to point B as quick as you? That's the name of the game. It's not about can I run by you. That's part of it, yes. Mm-hmm. But how can I get from point A to point B as quick as you, the defensive back? How do I then separate myself if I'm running a curl route and you're sitting right there? Can I hit my 12 or 14 yards and come back to the quarterback and not miss a beat? This guy has it. He's a guy that, again, you could put him just about anywhere and he's going to be explosive for you. He is a points maker. Just like Jimmy Buckets, he's a points maker. He's going to get you what you need. And he showed up each and every year. He was a top guy for Houston's offense last year, even though everybody knew the ball was coming to him. 17 touchdowns in that offense. It's a high-powered offense, but 17 touchdowns. This guy will get you some points and he will make you pay if you don't guard him. So that's the last guy on my top five list. Now, that's in no particular order, people. It's not like, okay, I thought Jackson and Jigba was number one, so that's why I went with him.
Right.
And you know, Tank Dale was number five. No, I call it how I see it, and I went through and I evaluated these guys, watched a little film of them, and this is what I came up with. So, but with any of these guys, first you got to understand, what do we need? Where would we place him? A lot of these guys, with the exception of Addison and Jalen Hyatt, are predominant. You can be okay with them being outside guys. The other guys, they can be inside guys, but you have to be okay with them putting them outside as well. But you got to design some things for them.
So, and I think that we can always look at any position group in the top five, period, mm-hmm. versus the top five for the Tennessee Titans, whether it's injury history or the ability to get them where they would probably be taken. So looking at that group of five, which do you think is the most realistic pick for the Tennessee Titans, whether it's 11, whether it's some point in the first round if they decide to trade back, whether it's the second round, the best fit combined with the most gettable in the draft?
I would – me, I don't – unless they draft back, unless they move back, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I don't see them getting him at 11. I don't see them getting any one of these guys at 11. But Jackson Smith and Jigba, as good as he is, he doesn't fit the need that they want.
Yeah.
An outside guy. Jalen Hyatt, yeah. Jalen Hyatt sort of fits that speed guy, but you got questions with him.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Addison fits the prototypical 5'11", 6', 4'4 guy, can play both outside and inside. So you can live with him. They may be able to get him, you know, in the second round. I don't think he falls out of the second round. I think he goes early second round. Maybe slip into the first round. I don't know. It just depends on the run of wide receivers. But I think they have an opportunity to get all of these guys. But I don't think they're going to touch any of them in the first round, which probably kind of eliminates Jackson Smith and Jigma.
Right.
And probably Jordan Addison, too. I didn't bring up Quentin Johnson. I didn't bring him up because I think he's falling in the draft boards. What I saw from him, and I remember saying this, and we got to go to break, I know, but I remember saying this about the kid, the kid that Cincinnati drafted in the first round. And I saw him play against Alabama. Yeah.
Jamar Chase?
No. Before they drafted Jamar Chase, okay. They drafted him. I remember watching him versus Alabama, and he shut it down versus Alabama. I saw it. I said, I would not touch that kid. I would not draft him, not one bit. Quentin Johnson is the same way. When they played Georgia, he was a no-show, a complete no-show. I would stay away from him in the first round. I would. Now, I would draft him possibly late in the second, but I wouldn't touch him in the first round.
Okay, D-Mace's wide receiver breakdown on D-Mace's big board. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll get your thoughts on that. Plus, coming up next, somebody talk the talk, but they could not walk the walk. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ville, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. You can join me and D-Mace and, of course, Crazy Chris Sanders on location as we broadcast live for day two of the NFL draft on this Friday. We'll be out at the Inglewood Wingstop located at 3300 Gallatin Pike where flavor gets its wings. First 100 people to stop by during the draft will receive a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. So come hang out with D-Mace and I and Chris Sanders on Friday night for night two of draft coverage. So let's go back to last week. Dylan Brooks talked his talk. Grizzlies beat the Lakers in game two. I didn't think they could do it. No jaw. You know, I thought they were going to be facing a really, really tough situation, dropping two games in Memphis and going on the road to L.A. I thought the Grizzlies were dead in the water. And then they had a great game, too. Dylan Brooks talked his talk to LeBron James, said, I don't care about him. He's old. I poke bears. I think Dylan Brooks got real humbled real quick.
Oh, man.
Grizzlies fell to the Lakers last night, 117-111. The Lakers now lead the series 3-1. That series is over. I think the Grizzlies are donezo. And if I am in that locker room in Memphis, I'm thinking, Dylan, shut your mouth, all right?
Don't ever do that again.
Don't ever do it again. Who do you think you are coming for, LeBron James?
Well, I guess that's what they do in Memphis.
I think Dylan Brooks broke the Grizzlies. I do.
I think he broke himself.
Yeah, they're probably thinking like, dude, what were you thinking? Why? Why did you say that? Because we got to back you up. It ain't just you. We got to back you up, you know? So
you know it was on every one of those guys' mind in that first quarter of game four, or game three, I should say.
Where he went for like 0-for-13, his first 13 shots.
Yeah, and he wasn't very good last night either. No. Like, you can tell, like, wide open shots. It's in his own
head. They left him open.
It's in his own head.
Yeah.
You know, some guys say stuff like that, and they play better. Like, they can back it up.
Walk
but
the walk and
this,
talk to
that
talk.
Has not happened here. Like, his game has gone down. I do think he kind of got a raw deal on when he went for the steal and... I don't think that was intentional.
He said, we're scared. You keep on scaring Caroline.
Just need a little heads up.
No. That game last night, the Lakers took control early. They looked like they was getting ready to run away with the game. And then toward the end of the first half, the Grizzlies go on a 14-something run. Ja's looking like Ja again. Damon Bain is hitting three-pointers everywhere. And they get the lead, I think, down to single digits or right above that. And then it, coming out in the third quarter, Lakers sort of picked the score back up. But Memphis just wouldn't go away. They continue to play physical. Ja played really good. He, obviously he still wasn't Yeah, I can't say he wasn't himself because of the way he went to the hole a few times. I mean, he wanted to dunk with everybody if he got a chance.
It was flashes of vintage Ja.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, you know, a full, complete game of that Ja Morant that we know and love.
He looked like Russell Westbrook in Russell's first 3 or 4 years at the NBA, 5 years, where it's just reckless abandon. Like, there's no way you can stop me from getting to the hole, and if you stand underneath the basket, I'm just going to dunk on you. That's the way Ja approaches. He's very aggressive when it comes to the offensive end, and rightfully so. But they're not going to beat the Lakers. I called this in six games. I got a text that said, man, you are crazy. and I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, but I've seen the Lakers play the last half since the trade deadline, and they were the second best team in the West or in the NBA record-wise after the trade deadline. That told you they got better from the outside because they were horrible shooting from the outside. Then they went and got some outside shooters, and that elevated their game. So I just don't think with not having their bigs, Memphis, Ja dealing with the – I don't think it's hampering them that much, but he still – you know, it still bothers them a little bit, I'm sure. Ja's not 100%. There's no way you're going to beat a healthy Lakers team. There's just – as long as Anthony Davis – even though he didn't play well last night, he came up big at certain moments.
Late.
Late in the game with the rebounds and a few shots and the block shots that he had. But other than that, he was just – he was a no-show. And Charles Barkley said it great. He was like, man, he's one of the most frustrating sort of all-stars. And you can't quite – get what he's doing, because one night he has these peaks and valleys. Like, one night he's great, and then the next night he can't find him at all.
Like, when he feels like it.
Yeah, and it's like, as a superstar,
it's so frustrating.
You are supposed to be the best player on the court. You are. Mm-hmm. You have that skill set to be the best player on the court. You should be. But instead, the 38-year-old is the best player on the court, and we understand why, but if the Lakers are going to continue to win, Anthony Davis has to play. He has to give them a double-double. It has to be damn near 20-something points, 10 rebounds a game. It has to be if they want to continue to advance in the playoffs. They're going to beat Memphis. If they don't, then sad for the Lakers.
And that's not good for
but
Memphis.
But they're going to beat Memphis. Memphis is not ready yet. They're just not. They're too young, and they have too many injuries inside with the big position.
They should be further along. I think that's got to be disappointing to Memphis.
It's immature. The immaturity of the team shows.
But
that's the problem with Memphis, I think, is they have so much young talent. Mm-hmm. And they're not in a win-now window because they've got a very young core.
And Ja's locked up for the next 3 or 4 years, something like that.
And he's going to be your franchise player for the foreseeable future. But to Willie's point, they should be getting further along, especially in a series that they were expected to win. I think if Memphis ever wants to get past this point that they've been in of you're making the playoffs, you make splashes in the playoffs, you may go far in the playoffs, but you can't quite get past it, Memphis is going to have a more veteran presence, and Memphis needs more big men. Because I know that the identity of this Memphis team is we've got a chip on our shoulder, and it's whoop that trick, and it is kind of, you know, almost like this bad boy mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the identity of this Grizzlies team.
And Dylan Brooks has become a bad boy.
He's personified it. But I think they need some maturity on this team. They need a veteran presence both on the court and in the locker room. Because if they don't, they're going to continue to just kick themselves in the butt.
I think not having Steve Adams, because Steve Adams is their one, he's their enforcer. This is about 7'3", 7'4", big guy.
He's a big man.
Yeah, and he can play. Like, Steve, he can play.
And he's been through the playoff runs.
He's been through it. He has that experience. Him not being on the court.
That's a big one.
It's big for Memphis because we saw what they were able to do last year. They ultimately got put out by the champions in Golden State. But even in that series, you saw sort of the immaturity in that series, and you figure, okay, they'll grow out of it. Well, it just seems like because they don't have Steve Adams, who was their sort of enforcer, that guy that stabilized everything, he was the veteran voice. Now he's not on the court with them, and they don't have Clark either, who was their other big man. They're feeling it. And they just they ran up against the wrong team at the wrong time. The L.A. Lakers are a team with the best player in the world, and LeBron James, let's say the best 38-year-old player in the world.
Well, let's just take a moment to appreciate LeBron.
You have
to. I don't know if you're a LeBron person or not a LeBron person listening out there, but, man, the feel for the moment, the theater, that was pretty awesome last night. I was fighting to stay awake. I mean, you can watch games from about 6 o'clock to about 1 o'clock on most nights. When you're flipping back and forth, if you love baseball in there, now I really feel for you, and that's the sickness I have. I like watching baseball, too. So I'm trying to watch 3 sports. And so I'm sitting at some point. I got to mix in, you know, walking around or something. Could I take the dogs for a walk or something? I'm just a couch potato here for like 8 straight hours if I want to be.
Got a Willy print on your couch.
Yeah, really. But you have to see LeBron at the end of the game. Like the move he makes to tie the game. I mean, we'd be talking about a 2-2 series. Hey, Grizzlies right in this thing. Got the split. Coming back to Memphis. But no, LeBron. And that the move had to be perfect.
Because Jaren Jackson was coming.
He's timed it perfect. Yeah. And that guy's a heck of a shot blocker. Mm-hmm. A heck of a shot blocker.
Defensive player of the year.
And the way that LeBron releases the ball, it has to be perfect. But it just boop, boop, it goes in.
Yeah.
I mean, what a place that would have been to watch. Like, that was great theater last night. So at his age, to still be doing it, that's compelling. I'm very curious to see how this progresses. And, like, you get LeBron in it with the Lakers. The Knicks look like they're in pretty good shape. You know, games at Madison Square Garden are pretty awesome. Like, the NBA has got to be going, okay, look, we've accomplished everything we wanted here. We're getting parity. Mm-hmm. We've had small market teams show that they can win it. You don't have to tank to have a really good team. I like where the league is, but, man, to have L.A. and New York in the middle of this, that's pretty cool.
Milwaukee's down 3-1.
Jimmy Butler.
Buckets.
Jimmy
Man,
Butler.
That was something.
That was so – 56 points last night?
56. Man. And they were behind. They were behind. They needed all 56 of those points.
Jeez. Built different. Hey, be caller 5 right now to win a pair of tickets to see the Outlaw Music Festival at First Bank Amphitheater on September 10th. Concert will feature Willie Nelson, Bob Weir, and the Wolf Brothers, Los Lobos, and Particle Kid. That is caller 5. Good luck with that. Coming up next, Joe Rexroad's most recent article in The Athletic kind of sheds a little bit more light to the S2 cognition test. It's been the one factor that we've been talking about for a couple of days now that could potentially be pushing C.J. Stroud down in the draft ranks. So a little bit more information about the S2 cognition test. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Today, 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. So Joe Rexroad put out an article on The Athletic, and it's a really insightful article. Thoughts from Rand Carthon, thoughts about the upcoming draft, some of the quarterbacks. And he did throw a good bit of information in here about the S2 cognition test, the S2 score, which we've been talking about ad nauseum, specifically about C.J. Stroud. There was an article put out there by Bob McGinn on golongtd.com. And Bob McGinn, if he knows something, if he's got something to say, all of our ears perk up. And he reported some of the leaked S2 scores, supposedly. The Bryce Young got a 98. Will Levis got like a 93, 94. Anthony Richardson got a 79. And then all the way at the bottom was C.J. Stroud with an 18 on the S2 cognition test. And this was put in here in the article by Joe Rexroad, by the founder of the S2 score, that's not really the truth. That there's a lot of information missing in some of the reports. Now, he's not going to release the scores. There are only 15 teams in the league that have kind of subscribed to this, to the S2 scores, so he can't just release them. C.J. Stroud and his people can't even come out and comment on the score. So he can't come out and say, that's not true. This is what he got. And this is the breakdown.
Okay. Why can't they? Is there
I guess it's since they don't subscribe to these scores. They don't even know what he got. I don't think C.J. Stroud. That was my understanding. My takeaway from doing a little bit more research about the test was if you don't pay for these scores, and there's 15 teams,
like
in
the teams
that
are
do,
paying for,
the teams are
but
paying
not the player
for and
subscribing
to these scores. The players took the test, obviously, but they don't get the scores.
But isn't that, with that being said, if you are a and you can answer this too, Willie. Mm-hmm. If you are a top prospect quarterback. And Will Levis, Shroud, Young, Hendon Hooker, whoever, those four or five guys. If you're taking the test, shouldn't your agent want to have the results? I would think.
According to the article, the agent does not have access to the results.
Yeah, shouldn't they, you?
But
like,
you can't get it.
Oh, you can't get it?
According to Joe.
Like, okay, if my...
Like, only the teams subscribe. The teams have the deal with S2. Now, I don't know if it's possible that the agent could buy access to that. That's a good... It's an interesting question.
So you don't know...
That was what Joe had in his article, is that they do not have access to their own scores.
Well, if
which
that's
is weird.
That's weird. It's like taking an ACT, but I don't have access to it, but you're telling me what I got.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to believe you or not.
Sense.
It doesn't make sense. Like,
I feel like you should be able to get your own
exactly.
score.
If I'm C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or any one of these top-level guys, if it is true that they have it, I would be like, listen, if I'm taking a test for you and I understand, you know, it's sort of like a prerequisite, it's the same for the ACT and the SAT at some colleges. So I do at least get to see my scores. So why can't I see my scores in this situation?
That's why it works.
It leads to stuff like this where people are leaking it, but can't nobody really confirm it nor deny it.
This is except for they have grilled this guy. They have grilled Christian Ali, however you say his name, to try to get what they can. And he's tried without breaching confidence to paint a picture that the 18 is not the full story, one way or the other. Whether he took it, sounds to me, according to Joe, that he may have taken it more than once. There may have been some facets of the test he didn't do well on, at least the first time. Maybe they were better, but I think the 18 is probably not a full picture of what happened here. But just to answer your question, Derek, this is out of Joe's article. The scores from the S2 are the property of NFL teams that have contracted with S2. Which is why you haven't heard anything from Stroud or his agent about the report of an 18. They don't have access to his results. And that's so weird. I take a test, but I can't figure out. You can't tell me
exactly
what I got on the
that's
test?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's just because, again, anybody can sort of manipulate the scores, meaning you can tell me the 18. Well, was that an overall score or that was just a part of the score? Which one was it?
They can't tell you.
Yeah.
They can't tell you. But you can take it more than once. They did say that you are allowed to take it more than once.
Throw that damn S2 stuff out the door. Damn that. Throw it out of the door.
I think you can get stuff from it.
No, but it's unfair because whatever, and I'm not saying that they're doing this. Tennessee Titans don't want C.J. Stroud drafted to the Houston Texans or somebody else. But I'm not saying the Titans are doing this. I hope they're not. 99% of me says, no, they're not. But there's always that 1%. Just say any other team that wants him to fall, or whether it was Bryce Young. And they put that out and say an 18, but they're vague in saying, where is that the whole score? Is that just portion? What is the 18? To me, that's unfair because now you can manipulate the draft.
The idea is that the scores would have never been leaked.
Exactly.
It never would have been an issue. Let's say if C.J. Stroud, if none of these players knew what they got and the scores never got leaked, I don't think it would ever have been an issue.
That's like saying there'd never be inside trading. There's always inside trading.
Now they can't refute it or they can't make a statement about it because they don't know.
But you know what's interesting about this article? Joe was able to confirm a couple of good S2 scores. Now, how did they do that?
Exactly. It's just like, man.
Like, let's see. Bryce Young, reported and confirmed by The Athletic, scored in the 98th percentile. Also, they confirmed, and this is part of Joe's argument, that Will Levis is the guy that the Titans are targeting. I'm not sure if I buy into that fully. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I'm not sure I'm as committed as he is. But apparently they confirmed that Will Levis confirmed S2 scores 93. Confirmed by the Athletic's Joe Person. How did they find that out?
Exactly.
Good reporting, I guess.
Good reporting. And what the founder of the S2 test said, what I will say is the list of scores that I have seen, two of those scores are not accurate. They're not accurate at all. Some of the reasoning could be for narrative purposes. The other reasons are they don't have context. So somebody could have gotten a list of very early scores. So that could be used, to your point, Mace, to make a narrative.
Exactly.
If I have a general manager that's picking at 4, and I want C.J. Stroud, maybe I'll just...
And this is the guy that has the access. This is Ally that's quoted as saying that. So he's trying to defend C.J. Stroud's score as much as he was comfortable doing without revealing.
He didn't say C.J., but he said two of the scores are not accurate.
But I would have to think he's referring to that.
But
C.J. Stroud's score is so
that's who he's being asked about.
Ridiculously outside of the box. Like, you see a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, Anthony Richardson, 79. The rest of these quarterbacks, 90s. Hendon Hooker, 46. But 18 is, like, impossibly
like, you
low.
Walked in and was like, turn around.
Exactly. So you'd have to think that he's probably talking about C.J. Stroud.
But
still.
It leads to the player not having control over not necessarily having control over the test. It's not a test, but evaluation, so to speak. But not having control over the message or the narrative that's being put out, because I can't see the score, but all of y'all telling me what possibly a portion of the score is. Some even made it seem like I got an 18 on the score, like a flat out 18 without giving all context. I don't like that stuff. That's what I don't like. Whether it was C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, or anyone, these players work too damn hard for somebody to be trying to damn manipulate scores and position people so guys may fall in the draft a little bit or not. I just don't like that. If you want to administer this test, then allow for someone that represents that player to get the test. You don't need to get Will Levis's test. You don't need to get Bryce Young's test. I just need to get Hendon Hooker's test if I'm his agent, or if I'm Will Levis's agent. I just need to get my player's test, because then I can look at it and say, you know what? Maybe you need to take this test again. Maybe you weren't concentrating as much. Go and take the test again and see what happens. But right now, you don't have any of that.
It's an unfortunate reality about a lot of things, but specifically about the NFL draft, that you have zero control over the narrative that could completely shape the future of your career. The narrative that could make you millions and millions and millions of dollars and win you a Super Bowl, you have zero control over. And that's a really unfortunate reality, and we've seen it so many times before. Now it's the S2 test, the scores are maybe erroneously reported, or maybe it's, you know, social media posts that are released at just the right time, or a legal right, whatever it might be. It's an unfortunate reality, and if you don't think that certain organizations or general managers or whoever use this information to benefit their own team, then you are sorely mistaken. But let's get back into this on the other side, because I see your text. We'll get into those coming up next. Plus, a couple of things that I've seen a lot on Twitter, on our text line, or some of our listeners have been saying that I kind of want to debunk as far as it comes to the S2 cognition test. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Just to address the quarterback thing, I would say that we're obviously aware of scores being leaked, and we're not sure where that's coming from. But I will say that take some of those with a grain of salt.
Okay.
We have seen, you know, hey, so-and-so scored the highest in the class or the highest ever, and so-and-so scored low. And it's like, yeah, that's not true. But with that being said, I will say that this class as a whole, all of the guys in the discussion have scored really, really well. And, you know, if I'm if I'm a general manager, it's more likely that I'm going to utilize this tool. If we love two players the same, we love their physical makeup, we love their psychological makeup, we have great interviews with them. One has a high S2, one has a modest S2. It can be a separator from that perspective. Again, I just don't see GMs in front of offices saying, "Nah, we don't really like this guy, but his S2 is good, so let's take him."
Right.
That was Brandon Ally, the founder of the S2 cognition test on Pro Football Focus. And then he went on the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. He sat down with Joe, kind of echoed the same sentiments of, look, this isn't the full body of work. This isn't the full story that was reported by Bob McGinn and Go Long TD. Now, I don't discredit Bob McGinn for that. I do discredit whatever GM or league executive leaked those incorrect scores, because I'm sure Bob McGinn went into it saying this is a reliable source that I'm getting this information from. Mm-hmm. But there are two things that I've heard a lot on Twitter, a bunch through our text line from some of our listeners, what I think are misconceptions about the S2 test. One of them being kind of the echoing a sentiment that Hutton had yesterday, and we'll talk with Hutton tomorrow. He went on with Chase and Michelle yesterday and talked about how S2 isn't everything, and used Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf's Wonderlic score as kind of an example of that. Because he said Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf scored the exact same on the Wonderlic score, and of course we know how Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning's careers ended up. And I've heard a lot of people, especially in the text line, saying, well, I don't care at all about S2 because we saw what happened with Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. I totally understood what Hutton was saying, and I think it was maybe taken out of context. The Wonderlic is a completely different thing in this context. The Wonderlic is a dumb multiple choice test that I didn't think really graded anything. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf having the same Wonderlic score, I don't think has anything to do with C.J. Stroud's low S2 cognition test. So that's one thing that I don't think that those two things should be compared.
I'm not going to prescribe to that. I think those are two different tests. From what we gather about the S2, it's nothing like the old school Wonderlic test, which they don't use anymore, I believe.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's just a multi. It outlived sort of its time. Mm-hmm. It should have been gone a long time ago, but it stayed for a little while longer. Now they've come up with the S2. If you want to administer this test and let this sort of be, one of those deals where, you know, it's part of the toolbox that we're going to use to evaluate more so quarterbacks than anything else, then okay, I get it. I understand that. You got to use whatever it takes to make sure you're getting the right player. But that player should have access to that test, to see where I need to possibly get better. Do I need to focus more? Did I go in there with the right attitude? What is it that I may have scored high here but didn't score as high over here? So if I'm able to see the test, see the results, then I'm like, okay, let me go in and take it again so I know exactly what I need to pinpoint. But if I don't get these tests back, I don't know the score, then what do I look to get better at? That's like giving a test on a, in a class, and the teacher not giving you the test back to see what you got wrong so you can work on it. So when you have that midterm, you would know, okay, I better really pay attention to this area because I slacked in this area a little bit. I didn't know as much as I should have known. It should be the same here. What if this is affecting my life, I should be able to see it. Point blank. If it's affecting my life, I should be able to see it.
That seems very logical to
it's
me.
It's just logical thinking.
But okay, so let's say you're the agent. You're my agent. Uh-huh. Okay, I got a 50. I'm your client. I got a 50.
I'm keeping it close to the vest.
Okay, but what's to keep you from spreading inaccurate information? to people that don't subscribe to the S2
because
data.
They got so the test because the other people got the test too.
But,
and they
but
know
there's
exactly.
Some, maybe there how many teams subscribe do get the data? Like it sounded to me like Rand Carthon, this has been around 6-7 years. He's recently
but I'm sure
started
Rand,
looking at this stuff.
You're right, but I'm sure Rand has the results to that test.
I think
test.
Rand bled the fifth a little
yes,
bit.
Yes,
so
he has the results. But that's what
that.
I'm saying. So if my agent has it and you have a 50, which I don't think would be the case, Willie. You wouldn't have a 50. If it was, I'm like, man, something wrong with you, Willie. I know you, Willie. Not a 50, no. But if you get a 50, if the GMs or the owners have this test as well, I can't then come out and say, well, my client got an 80, knowing damn well he got a 50. Because then the other GMs, they're going to look at somebody, man, you lying. Like, dude, what are you talking about? I got the test in my hand.
And if the
I know
does,
they tried to do this with the Wonderlic, too. Like, the some of it gets out, some of it doesn't, and then you start questioning a lot of things. I don't know if it was ever made public. It sure was interesting to read who got the 90s and the 85s. It seemed like that was all out there.
But after a while, people stopped paying attention, or at least maybe I did. The Wonderlic, it's like...
Well, that yeah, I think that's completely obsolete now. Yeah. I don't know. Do they even do that anymore?
I don't know.
And also, let's remember that
the
S2 is not only given to quarterbacks, right? They're not only given to quarterbacks.
Not just football players.
Not just football players.
Yeah, it's,
there's a lot of people doing this.
Mm-hmm. One text in kind of along the same lines of what we're discussing says the S2 is an evaluation by teams that are potential employers. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to job interviews, a potential employer doesn't have to tell me about their evaluation process and why I'm not getting the job. These teams don't have to tell each individual
right.
player why I'm not drafting mm-hmm. you. But if I tell somebody I get interviewed with, I don't get the job, and I reach out and say, hey, could you give me some feedback on our
exactly.
interview?
Exactly.
I just got texted by two different people that I trust. Only half of the teams have access to the S2.
15.
Well, that means 15 of them. The other 15 or so didn't pay to
well,
get.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if I got a 50.
Yeah.
I mean, and you start spreading information to the 15 teams that don't have access that I got an 80.
But the other 15 like, teams do know.
Yeah.
And it's going to eventually get out that you run around lying.
But you just got to fool one team.
But you're lying.
Well, Willie got an 80. He got an 80. Trust me. They're wrong. Those other guys are wrong. Listen to me. He
I
got
know,
an 80.
I know. The Colts do have access.
You're my
to
agent.
Exactly. The Colts do have an access.
That's going to do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
On my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.